Yeah.
There you go. Hit it, buddy.
We'll start this podcast off right with a couple of hits. I don't know if you're ready for that one, Alex Hooper.
I think there's two on each side.
There's two on each side. We're using our special crystal one today. should we tell him before or after he smokes? Oh. Bro, that's the grandma weed.
Oh, the grandma weed.
What does that mean?
That means that my grandma grows that shit. and it's been known to knock Kevin now a couple
clogged.
Times.
Hey, get your other bowl. That one's clogged.
That one's clogged?
Yeah, dude.
Man, I never use that one.
Yeah, it's super clogged. Yeah, I mean, if you have a little tool or something like that, I can...
I do have a little tool, but...
I can jimmy it loose.
We'll do it another time. Fuck it, we're already recording at this point.
Unless you just want me to stop it, and then we'll just restart it.
No, that's cool. We're doing fine.
We're doing fine. Welcome to the Homeschool Podcast. This is how we do here. We're trying to get our bowls together. Yeah, bro, my grandma grows that shit.
That's awesome.
And it knocks Kevin out pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny to watch Kevin's eyes afterward.
The only thing my grandmother grows is flowers out of her grave, so...
Okay, whoa.
Was that too morbid for the beginning of this?
I mean, maybe save for the middle.
They were beautiful women, both of them. So I think they'd be okay with me making that joke.
Good. all right, welcome to the Homeschool Podcast, guys. That's how we roll here. Unorganized, apparently. So let's just get right into it. Alex Hooper's is here today.
Hi, everybody.
And my co-host Kevin Lyons here today. It's always a good day when Kevin's here.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
And when Grandma's Weed is here.
Grandma's Weed. That's why I'm here.
Some grandmas give you apple pies. Yeah. Others give you an eighth of bud.
We got the shit that killed George Sr. Dude, fucking Joey always says that as a joke, right? Whoever died recently, Joey would always be like, I got the shit that killed, right? Yeah. That's what he says. He does it to me all the time. And one day he called me. He was like, bro, you got to come over and get some of this weed. And I was like, I go, okay. I go, do you have the shit that killed John McCain? It was right when McCain died. And bro, he tweeted it. He was like, oh, Agostino said this to me. And like, we got so much fucking hate on that one, dude.
I bet you did. They're like, he's a war.
Yeah.
He's a goddamn
bunch of military guys were all like, fuck yeah, he was a war hero, man.
Whatever, dog, suck my dick.
Yeah. I want to be like, dude, just go listen to the Tinfoil Hat podcast and hear what he really did. Right? All right. So this episode.
Everyone's sorry. Here when they come back.
Now that we got the bowl going. It's a good way to start this podcast. I feel like we set the tone of it just being fun. This episode is brought to you by Masterclass. That's right, you guys. I've said it once and I'll say it again. I think this is a great holiday gift, is to give someone the gift of knowledge. I know you know somebody who's been thinking about getting or perfecting their craft or just taking a little extra class, or maybe they want to get into something and they always wanted to take a class on it. And they haven't had the time or the money to go take a class. But you can take this class from the comfort of your own home. And they've got almost everything on there. I mean, you can take a comedy class, a writing class, acting, cooking, I mean, business. I mean, it's all on there. And it's taught by the best. Like, I mean, Judd Apatow has, like, a comedy writing one. Steve Martin has the comedy class. Samuel L. Jackson teaches an acting class. Just go check it out, guys. There's tons of stuff on there. And click the link in the description. And it's $90 per class, or you can just do 180 and have access to the entire site for 1 year. So you can take all those classes if you want, or as many as you want. So for 1 year, you have access to the entire site. So I think it's a no-brainer to do the 180. I think it makes a good Christmas present for someone, or maybe yourself. It's the time to do it. No more excuses. I don't have time. I don't have money. It's right there, you guys. In your home, Masterclass. Click the link in the description. Also, this episode is brought to you by Blowfish.
Blowfish.
Blowfish. Yeah, you guys, if you don't know about it, this shit is legit, okay? So it is the FDA-recognized remedy for hangovers. It works. It's not like one of those ones that you buy at the drugstore that's just like a little thing that you drink. You wake up the next morning, if you feel like you're hungover, you're not feeling it that day, you're just feeling down, feeling nauseous, whatever it is, pop two of these in some water and you drink it. It works just like Alka-Seltzer. It's the shit, man. It's bailed me out a few times. And a lot of the hangover remedies, they want you to take it while you're drinking. But sometimes I didn't plan on getting fucked up. Or sometimes you don't know you're going to wake up with a headache or a hangover. So that's why I like this one, man. You wake up the next morning, you're not feeling it. You got a bunch of shit to do. You drink this, and you're good to go. So you can get it at 4hangovers.com, and you're going to use promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your order of Blowfish. And if you're not much of a drinker, it works great if you get really bad migraines, and it's a good energy booster too. So yeah, guys, it's 4hangovers.com. Use promo code HOME for 15% off of your supply of Blowfish. That's all the sponsors for today. We got through it, you guys. We did it. Like I said earlier, our guest today is comedian Alex Hooper.
Yeah, glad to be here.
I'm happy you're here too, bro.
Gonna need some Blowfish in the morning.
Yeah,
we're gonna need it after this podcast. Kevin Lyons is here.
Hi, everybody.
What's up, Kevin?
What's up?
My co-host. I love when you're here, buddy.
Oh, thanks.
And, are you sometimes not here?
Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm editing and filming, and I can't come down.
Kind of rarely, though. Like maybe once a month, he misses one, and I'll have to do it by myself. Yeah. Or if like it's the holidays, like he'll go back home for Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
It's not the same without Andy Richter.
No, that's right. It's not the same.
It's not. Anyway, I'm like kind of stalling because I had my music queued up, but the internet down here is so shitty.
Oh.
That it like refreshed again.
Dude, I bet it's like the rain is like stopping the internet flow.
It's stopping the music, not mm-hmm. just the internet flow.
Yeah, dude, right?
It knows when you're trying to use it and be like, let's fuck up his day.
It stops the fucking music, bro.
Yep.
Anyway,
no good.
I don't think music's going to happen this time, guys. I think we're just going to start the podcast.
This is officially the day the music died.
Oh, I was kind of interested in hearing that song.
Well, you know, I can always just like edit it in the beginning of the podcast.
Plug it right in there. The magic of technology. So should we come? Whoa, that was a fucking great song,
right,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston.
I thought
what I had queued up to play, by the way.
It was it?
Yeah. I want to dance with somebody.
You thought I was joking.
No, it really is Whitney Houston.
I did. It was I Want to Dance with Somebody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God. I would
now
have,
we got to get
I would
to play,
be,
right?
Fucking
oh, there it is.
Grooving, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Let me start over. Welcome to the Homeschool Podcast. Okay, now go. You had that moment where you realized, like, oh fuck, the holidays and rent is due. Shouldn't there be like a universal law, at least in the United States, that like the month of December is free, no rent.
In the same way that February should be a prorated rate, you know, should be prorated.
Yeah.
Like why?
Because it's not a full month.
In two or three less days.
Yeah.
You know, I would
that's
like
a really
50
good
or 75
point.
Bucks off my rent that month.
That's
yes,
a good argument.
That's a really good argument. Mine's probably not a good argument.
I would bring that up in court.
I think if you own like an office building or like, you know, big real estate and stuff like that, and you rent out your spaces for businesses and offices and stuff like that, then obviously they got to pay rent because they're probably open on the holidays, you know.
Some of them, yeah.
And then also, you know, you pay a lot in taxes and no one's giving you a break as the owner. But I think if you're like in a little apartment complex or something like that, you should get like December free. Come on. It should be like...
I mean, I feel like it depends because if it's a private owner, I feel like they need our money more than ever. If anything,
yeah,
we should be giving them
true.
Double rent in
yeah.
December. You know,
don't give them that idea.
I'm calling it right now. No. I'm giving my landlord double rent this month.
Damn,
so,
dude.
Ava Kramer,
oh, shit.
I know you don't really understand the words I say, or at least I don't understand what you say to me, but... double rent for December. It's coming.
Damn, dude, that's quite generous of you.
I really try to be a philanthropist, you know, this time of year. I don't want any Grinch activities.
How about we come up with some kind of a system based on your income, if you can do it or not? It's called Santa Care.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, for sure.
Santa Care.
Do you need government assistance to pay your double rent this month? What the fuck?
You know, some when you work at a place, sometimes they'll give you like a Christmas bonus. I mean, why can't you just have rent free or at least 50% off?
Yeah, or at least something off. Hey,
something.
You don't have to pay that extra 75. You know what I mean? They always get you something too. Like every month is like, oh, don't forget to add your additional $3.95. It's like, for what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like paying the convenience fee when you buy a ticket for a concert on the internet. They're like, we're going to charge you for this convenience.
Those are so bullshit now,
man. It's like,
you
have now doubled your profits because not only are you not paying a person to sit at a ticket window, but now you are charging me for the convenience of me buying it online.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
A convenience fee. It's so bullshit. Like, it used to be like reasonable, like $2, $3. And like the convenience fees now are ridiculous. Ridiculous!
Oh yeah,
the last time you guys have been to a concert,
I go to a lot of them.
If you pay a
$60 ticket, you end up paying $80 at a minimum for that ticket.
So then I always you got to buy two, you know, because you know what I mean, because I got to buy one for like whoever's going with me, the wife or a friend or whatever, and it's gonna be. I mean, if you're like, oh, cool, I found like two tickets for $50 on a website, and it's like, nope, your total's like $180 for some reason.
Yeah. Know?
It's insane.
I'm saying
Dodger games are fucking, like, I got raped at a Dodger game.
Oh, of course you did. They do.
Tickets are so cheap, but like the fees are crazy.
Yeah. That's how they do it. That's it makes you think you're buying a $17 ticket, and then somehow it ends up at $32, and you're just like, that's double.
I hate it when they don't include the tax and the advertised price. That's stupid.
Yeah, I would like for them to do that.
If they're going to screw you, at least tell you at first.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it over with.
Out the door, dude. Just give me the price. Out the door.
Out the door is what
I
want
to
know.
I need to know.
Some airlines will do that. I don't know if you've noticed lately that not all of them, but some airlines, when you go online to book it, they'll tell you the price like...
Oh, I typically find that now, yeah, because I use like Expedia and Kayak and stuff like that. So I just look, and all of their prices always are just like the price
after fees and taxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Although I don't appreciate all the fees and fucking taxes in general.
Sure.
Like all the fucking fees, like they're way too high too, dude. I booked some tickets today. I had to get my tickets for Phoenix, and I used Southwest coming home because I had some points, and I used American going there. I didn't have any points, and I paid like a bunch, but like coming home I used Southwest and I had enough points to pay for my entire ticket.
Yeah,
but they won't let you use your points for the fees and tax.
Oh, that's so weak.
So even though I have enough vouchers to cover the whole total,
you still had to pay like an extra hundred something bucks.
No, I paid $19 for my return ticket. That was for the fee and tax. I mean, the ticket was 80 or 85, 90 or something like that, and I paid 19 out of my own pocket.
It's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good. But then I had to pay
90 to get
there. Were
you sitting on
the
wing of the plane? Oh, you haven't heard of basic economy? Oh, you're not basic enough yet.
It has great air conditioning.
It's quite loud, so make sure you bring noise-canceling headphones and also a bird-protected suit.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking... I don't know. Have you ever noticed, either of you guys, when you book a flight... If you look at all those fees and what they are, because it's like a breakdown. You can click on the breakdown, like a bunch of them.
I've looked before, but refresh my memory on
bunch
some of the
fees.
Weirder ones.
There's one that's 9/11 fee.
The 9/11 fee?
It straight up says 9/11 fee.
I feel like we've all been paying for that since
then. That's crazy.
So the consumer is paying a fee for the terrorist acts in 9/11.
But what I don't get what it is, though.
I think it's the extra security.
Is it just there? No.
That's what I would have to assume, is the extra security since 9/11 that they've had to have at the airport.
Why don't they just call it security fee and not the... It's like they're...
Because there already is a security fee.
Yeah.
The 9/11 fee is on top of the security fee.
So the extra guard that they have there. Have you noticed lately when you go through the metal detector, there's always two guys waiting on the other side?
Yeah.
Rather than one lately?
Oh,
now
my gosh.
Now there's two.
Yeah.
So that's what that fee's for.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it's for.
Do you feel safer when there's more security around?
No, not at all.
I feel less safe. The more security I see, the more I'm like, what do you know that I don't know about this parade I'm watching?
Yeah. The fact that there has to be a lot of people, that there's something wrong there, especially when they're like walking around with dogs.
I want to see like CIA agents with those little weird wire things in their ears everywhere.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's what I want. I don't want to see like this dude you pay $9 an hour who like doesn't give a shit.
Oh yeah, he really doesn't care.
They're so pissed that you're there. Like, they're so annoyed that you decided to fly today while they were working. Like, that's their attitude. Have you ever flown out of Long Beach, dude?
No. Why would you?
It's cheap sometimes. Sometimes it's cheaper to fly out of there. So I flew out of Long Beach one time to go to Boston, dude. And they're so nice. Probably because they don't get that many people.
They're please, so nice. Come in here. Come to my line, sir. Dude. I haven't talked to anyone in days.
Yeah, it's like that. I felt like it was just like a really cool bus driver or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's this woman that's just like, hey, baby, you come on right in here. You know what I mean? You can have like a knife. And she's like, well, that's okay. You're not going to use it, right? You know? That's pretty much, they're so nice. And like, as you're walking to the plane, it's like one of those small airports like Burbank.
Uh-huh.
So you don't go through that, whatever they call it. What's it called? The jetway? You just walk out to the plane. And
yes.
It's one of those. And like, as you're walking out, there's just like people along the way that are just like, greeting you, like, hey, welcome aboard, you know, as you walk out there.
You feel like you just hit the game-winning home run. Yeah. And you're just, like, coming back through, and everyone's, like, high-fiving you. Yeah. Just like, yeah!
It feels like you're on, like, a roller coaster at Universal, and when you come back, they're all like, oh, my God, you did it! You know? That's what it feels like.
There's something, you know, there's something about walking, though, on the tarmac for a second to get to your plane, that even if you were on this huge commercial flight, you just kind of feel like, oh, yeah. Here we go, you know?
Right? Is that just me?
Oh, fuck no. Clearly it's not. I just said it. But like, yeah, there's something. I've never flown on a PJ. Not yet, you know?
Because whenever
you
see it, it's usually in movies and it's about like famous people walking onto their private jet. Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, for sure.
Bro, I see a bunch of Tom Brady posts on Instagram where he's just like walking, you know, from the actual, which is probably a private jet. But still, you know, just on the, bro. Yeah, I follow Tom Brady on Instagram. Okay.
That's okay. You're allowed to. You can follow a bunch of famous people. they're fun to watch sometimes. Yeah. Just like, oh, what kind of toys do you have?
Dude, I didn't know that anyone else felt like that. I was just like, yeah, dude. Like, that feels fucking incredible. Like, I kind of have my own little fantasy in my head that like, you're a little bit more famous than you are.
Hey, no, you know? It's okay to dream big, man. Yeah. You can look at that stuff, and as long as you're looking at it with an eye, like with an, you know, not non-jealous, but, you know, just a reasonable, like, way of looking at it. Like, you can go, I one day I'm going to work hard enough, and I will be able to have those kinds of things. Not just like, fuck that guy for getting to have that shit.
Yeah, right? Not jealous at all. Like, I'm just like, I don't know, I want to enjoy my little fantasy. You know?
I know. There's, enjoy, you know, it. I have, obviously we have a ton of friends that just because of like random things they've gotten in comedy have gotten to fly on private jets. I know there's a day when like I'm going to get to do that. And there's going to be that feeling in me that's like, oh my God, I can't. So cool. And I'm not a material thing. I'm not a material things guy at all. I don't buy shit for myself. I only pretty much buy experiences like festivals, concerts, things like that. So the experience of flying on a private jet, like, I'll never pay for it.
No.
Right?
But you want to go check it out.
But I want to do it. Sure.
I heard that you could, I keep seeing like all these advertisements that like the average person can kind of fly in a private jet now. Like, it's probably, it's more expensive than like a first class ticket, but there are some stuff. There's like apps now.
I believe it. Sure. I mean, you know, it's basically just like a hotels.com. It's like, is your private jet not being used today? Well, we'll give you a half rate to put it in the air.
It's like Airbnb for rich people.
Yeah, for sure.
Uber flights.
That's a thing. Uber has a helicopter service.
Yes, that's right. I think I heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
He just like lands and he's like, are you Bob? Yeah, no. And then he takes off again. Oh, man. You know, my first time I ever flew first class, I didn't know I was in first class, which still to this day I'm bummed out about because I didn't get to have that fantasy.
How did you not understand that you were in the front of the plane?
Because it was... It's a really good question. This was probably my first experience flying, okay? So I had a connection. So going the first time I stepped on a plane, I was in the middle seat, you know, in the way in the back. And then the second time I went on, it was the connection from that. And it was like really late at night at that point. There was really nobody on the plane. It was like really empty. It was a smaller plane. And because it was only like another hour or two to go. And I just remember going like, well, I guess it's just empty. And I just sat in the first seat that I could find. And they were just like, yeah, you can sit there. And like the flight was empty, you know?
Yeah.
And I sat there. I remember thinking like, well, this plane is nicer. And I specifically remember thinking like, oh my God, the seats are wider and they're leather.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there was like this smoking hot chick next to me. And you know, we chatted like a little bit. And then I remember thinking when I got off the plane that, oh, fuck, that was first class.
Yeah.
And I didn't even get to have my fantasy. And I didn't get to play off of I'm in first class and hit on the hot chick, you know?
The fish tank in the window wasn't like an indicator.
Yeah, they brought me like a warm towel. And
I got bumped up to first class once. That was fun.
It's the best, right?
Yeah. I was in the middle seat and it was like a full flight. And I was just sitting there. I'm like, I just don't want to fucking say. Because I get anxiety on the airplanes. I have to be drunk just to pass out.
Really?
Yeah. And I saw this lady. She was trying to switch seats with somebody. And I'm like, I'm in the middle seat. How much worse can this get? And I'm like, oh, hey, I'll give up my seat, you know, and switch with somebody if they want. And she goes, oh, yeah, there's a father who wants to sit next to his son. He's like right next to you. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, cool. And they didn't even tell me I was walking up. They kept on going like further and further up the plane. I'm like, we're getting good. We're getting good. Yeah. All the way up to first class. I'm like, oh, shit, I get a first class ticket? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
Dude, it's
and I felt so bad because the guy next to me was in like this expensive like business suit and I'm in like sweatpants and a t-shirt and I'm sitting down the plane and he just looks at me and he goes first time. I'm
like, oh, what a douche. Yeah. What a dick. Yeah. What a douchey thing to say.
And I'm like, no, I was making it obvious. I'm like, I was like, oh man, this is first class. This is awesome. You know, I was just, so cool. I'm like, I can do this. And like wave my legs at, like, that's the one thing I need on an airplane.
But he paid like $1,100.
Yeah,
for
it was funny though.
I know he was laughing. The only time, I've had it a few times, but I got bumped up once on my way to Laughing Skull Festival in 2012. I just went up to the counter and I was like, hey, are there any upgrades available? Knowing I wasn't going to pay for it. She goes, let me see your ticket. And she goes, gives it back to me. She's like, have fun. And I look at it, seat 1A.
Oh.
I was like, seat 1A, this is where the king sits, you know? Yes. Like, here we go. I got so wasted that I passed out within the first hour because of the free booze.
Yes.
And I was woken up by the flight attendant hitting my shoulder. And I woke up. I'm like, what's going on? I look around. I'm the only one on the plane. And he's just like, we're in Atlanta, dude. You gotta get up.
That's so
great. I was like, I literally was like, oh my God, the greatest flight of all time. It was 5 hours. It was a 6-hour flight, and I slept for 5 hours. And when I woke up, I was just there.
That's it. Those are the best flights.
Let me tell you guys another story about first class. Okay, this one's going to be even fucking trippier, right? Okay, so I'm taking a red eye to Massachusetts two years ago. I was going for the Super Bowl just to watch it with my buddies. And I'm sitting there in the terminal. It's like 11 o'clock at night waiting to board the flight. And this dude walks in. You know, you can tell when the dude is the dude who's like, oh, bro, this guy's fucked up. Like, he just walked in being loud and shit like that. He's wearing a fucking Patriots jersey. Like, he's going there. You know, he's going back home to watch the game, too. He's fucking been drinking. He's lit. He sits down right next to me in the terminal. I'm just like, of course. Probably because I think I had like a Red Sox hat on or something. I'm like, of course this guy's going to sit next to me.
Dude, are you ready? Dude, here we go. Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Oh, no, not even that. It was, are you ready for this flight type shit? Are you ready for this flight, bro? and then he kept interrupting himself to go, I bet you're thinking to yourself, you hope you don't sit next to me on the plane. Like, he kept saying that.
Oh, wow. At least he's self-aware.
Dude, and then he goes like, fuck, bro, I lost my fucking coke in the Uber. And I'm like, what? And he goes, dude, he was like, my fucking cocaine fell out in the Uber ride. It's probably just sitting there on that seat, fell out of my pocket. And like, all this shit, bro. He's like, bro, I'm fucking on one. He's like, it's all right. I got another one in my wallet. I'm like, how did you get through security with cocaine in your wallet? And then he starts asking me like a bunch of questions, like, oh, so like, what do you do? You know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, I'm a stand-up comic. You know what I
whoops.
Mean? And he, yes. Yes. Huge mistake.
To that
as
guy,
was coming
big
out of my
whoops,
mouth,
dude.
I was like, no, like, don't say that, you know? So he goes, dude, do you know my boy Vinny? Which, like, I'm not going to say his last name,
oh,
but
yeah.
Yes, I do know Vinny.
I probably know who you're talking about.
And I go, yeah, I know him. And Vinny and I were really, really tight. And like at the time we weren't, but we had a long history together. And I was like, yeah, we go way back is what I said. And he goes like, dude, oh my God, you're Vinny's boy. And just, you know, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward to on the plane. It's another empty one. I get in my seat and I have it to myself, the whole row. Mm. And I'm just like, dude, this is going to be a nice flight. And the guy's like in the back of the plane. He keeps coming up to me going like, all right, man, have a good flight, you know, whatever. So he's sitting back there. Flight attendants are like all dudes, like, which I've never seen before. It was always one chick, right? Yeah. Flight attendants were all dudes like our age, maybe younger, with like those fucking big wooden earrings. And they're, it was Virgin too, which I've never seen. They weren't even wearing like the Virgin uniform. It's the red eye. They're all like, what's up, bro? Like, you get on the plane and
it's casual Friday up in this bitch.
They're giving you, that's what it was, like casual Friday. They're all like high-fiving you as you get on the plane. One of the dudes comes up to me. He was like, he gets like really close to my face. Like, yo, you good? And I thought, he said it in like a way, like I thought he was going to fight with me. He's a stewardess. And I was just like, he's like, it's like this Filipino dude with like the earrings, you know? And he's like, yo, you good, bro? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Like, you need anything? I'm like, no, I'm perfect. Yeah, I'm good. Fine. He's all right. I'm going to check on you in a little bit. He comes back again before we even took off. And he was like, you want some whiskey? You want some vodka? And I go, I'm okay. Cause you know, when people offer you stuff, you don't know if it's free.
Right.
Especially because they work there. So you go like, I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And he's like, yo, the dude in the back says you're his boy and he's got you. He wants to buy you a drink. And I'm like, okay, then, yeah, I'll take whiskey. You know, he brings me back the little miniature bottles, you know, like two of them. No, he brings me back like three black labels and the little miniature bottles. He's like, that's all you, bro. That's you for the flight. You want ice, anything? I'm like, no, I'll just drink it out of the bottle like this. I'm like, that's really cool, right? And we're about to take off. All the lights go down. You know, and the red eye lights go down. Uh-huh. Then he comes up to me and he was like, again, the stewardess. And he goes, yo, dude, he's like, you want to get bumped up to first? And I'm like, yeah, why? Is it like empty or something? Because there's a bunch of other people on the plane you could have offered it to. He's just like, nah, dude, don't worry, I got you. And I look back. He goes, your boy's got you. I look back behind me where that dude's sitting, and he's like, I got you. Like, go up front.
Wait, what?
And I'm thinking to myself, like, if this guy's so, like, rich and or popular or whatever, or friends with this dude, why is he not in first class?
Right.
Right? So I'm really – he was, like, leaning in the furthest back row where there's a wall, leaning on his laptop working. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I go, like, yeah, if that's cool, yeah, I'll go to first class. They fucking grabbed my bag for me, walked me up. I sat there from like the beginning of the flight. It's Virgin right when JetBlue bought them out.
Yeah.
So like the fucking seats reclined in Virgin.
Oh yeah, TVs in every seat.
The TV comes out on a button, like by your feet.
Yeah.
It's fucking so sick, dude. And the stewardess keeps coming out going like, well, you're almost done with your black label. Let me give you some other. It brings me a basket of fucking good. It was insane, dude. Like crazy, crazy special treatment. And I couldn't even sleep. I was like having such a good time and drinking. That I watched two movies. All the movies are free in first class.
Yeah.
I watched two movies, drinking. Finally fell asleep maybe for 5 minutes right before we landed. Maybe it was longer than that. It seemed like 5 minutes. And then we land. I feel us land. I go like, oh, shit. Like, we're here already. You know, the sun's coming up. And I look to my left, which is where the empty seat was. And that fucking dude was sleeping next to me in first class. Like, the dude who was in the back.
Yeah,
back
that one, was buying you everything.
The Patriots guy. And he was sleeping, like, in the fetal position, like, facing me, like, pass the fuck out. And the same thing, like, everybody was already off the plane. Like, well, no, I felt this land, so, like, everybody got off the plane. That the stewardess woke him up and was like, sir, like, we're here. And he's like, okay, cool, thanks for waking me up. And then he says, like, loud in front of the stewardess, in front of everybody, he's like, bro, I did so much coke last night. Like, like, so loud, dude. And I'm, like, just kind of smiling. The stewardess doesn't even blink an eye. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, this guy must be here. Like, every day. Like, he must fly all the time and knows the night crew or something.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was fine with it. He was like, dude, I did a bunch of lines in the bathroom. Like, just saying it in front of the stewardess.
That's so funny.
And I was just like, dude, that's fucking crazy. And then, oh, he had lost his cell phone in the Uber, too, with the coke. So when we landed, I felt like, fuck, do I owe this guy something? And I just said, like, hey, dude, I go, you want to use my phone to, like, call a ride or something? And he's like, yeah. And he called his dad. And his dad, like, came and got him. And then he added me on Facebook, and I think he was like a golf pro or something.
Cool.
I mean, but yeah, that was the craziest fucking story ever.
That's hilarious.
There's dude. That one. There's that one like 2 minute like clip in Wolf of Wall Street when they're on the plane and there's just mountains of blow everywhere and everyone's fucking naked and just and I'm just like that just looks so fun, you know? That looks great. Like I've done a lot of drugs in a lot of places, but just in a plane,
yeah,
like,
that's
just
the best place
walking
to
around.
Because the cops great. Aren't gonna pull you over. They're not gonna bust your park.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, I know, right?
Land this plane. Yeah. We see what you're doing.
Yeah. And you can just stash the coke at like a different seat. He's like, bro, I'm not in 13B. Whoever was there last had the coke. Right?
No, dude, I'm on 2E. I mean, I'm in 2E. Whoops.
That's so funny, man. Anyway, fucking Alex Hooper's here.
Hi.
Hey, Alex.
Just to reestablish, in case you've forgotten after all the first-class plane talk.
This has just been one long commercial for Expedia.
For Virgin.
Virgin.
We just went right down the pipe.
Yeah. You know, with all those fucking fees and taxes, bro, we deserve a little bump or some free drinks or something.
Yeah, I agree. I want to do bumps on a plane. That's exactly
no,
where we ended up.
No, I meant bump in first class.
No.
Oh, man. But it's good to see you, Alex.
Back at
you. I feel like we've known each other. Like, you ever know people that are just like, I don't remember not knowing them?
We met right when... I mean, I remember I met you were one of the first people that I met in comedy. Like,
and I always thought that you were doing it longer than me. So I think that we...
March 9th, 2009
dude,
is my
February
day.
Dude, February 4th, 2009.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, see, we're right at the same time. Right, and we would see each other around with the it was then the comedy night at the Aura, like Spotlight Comedy Club. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
That's not where I met you? Oh, I thought it was.
I don't think I was.
Wait, is
to
that
the
one on Ventura?
Yeah.
Dude, that's the one that we were talking about.
Yeah. That's right. That was where I first started doing bringer shows. But yeah, we met early.
We might have met when I was working at No, because I wasn't working at the HaHa right away. We probably just met at some show, probably on the same show or something.
Yeah, but either way. But I mean, that's one of those. It's one of those comedy friendships where, like, you know, we see each other from time to time, and it's just like it's always great. It's one of my favorite things about comedy is like no matter where you go, if you're working, there will be somebody else in that place or in that city that you've just known for years. And sometimes you see people every day for 6 months and then you don't see them for 6 years.
Yeah,
and then
totally.
it's really fun just to have people everywhere you go.
I like that's that there's cool. certain cities I'll go to, like the bigger major cities that like I'll know comics that live there too. It's crazy,
yeah.
dude. And you go to like New York and I go to Boston and then even sometimes the smaller cities too, because you always be like, oh dude, you're working that club this weekend, I'm at this one, you know?
Exactly.
It's fucking great, man. But yeah, I that's why it seems like I've known you since just the beginning of stand-up, because you started like a month after me.
Yeah, crazy.
That's fucking, yeah.
I know we're almost at that 10-year mark. Success, here we come!
Yeah, bro.
Do you think it's legit? Do you think 10 years is still a valid number for like that you should at that point like, because in my opinion, it's always been at that point you should be able to live off it, right? At 10 years, what they always told you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think 10 years is still a valid number in 2018, almost 19?
No.
I don't think it is either.
No, absolutely not. There are people that, like, do it, like, no matter what. It was like Steve Carell and them didn't even make it famous until, like, their 40s, and they were always working
on
it.
But I think,
you know?
Like, acting and improv is, like, a completely different beast, too, though, you know what I mean? But like, for stand-up, like, I remember when I first started, I had emailed Maz Jobrani on Facebook. I messaged him on Facebook, and this is probably 2009, 2010. And I was just, I don't know why him. I knew that at the time my ex-wife was Iranian, and that was like her favorite comic, you know. And I was like, hey Maz, like, you know, I'm this, you know, blah blah blah. And I just was like, I was like a youngster looking for advice, and I was just like when do you start to get like paid gigs? I know, you know, classic like fucking stupid amateur question.
No, hey, I get it.
But I was like, and he goes, bro, I didn't think I got paid my first time, he goes, until year 7.
That's a long time.
That's a really long time, because I know I've done paid gigs at year like 2, maybe sooner, like not legitimate gigs, but still you're getting paid. But
yeah, it's just not consistent at all.
It's not consistent, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, I got my first pay gig at 7. So I think that times definitely change.
Yeah.
I'd say now it's harder to make it. So I don't even think that 10 years is relevant.
It's just, I don't know if it's harder or if it's just totally different, you know, because I sometimes think like, man, I wish it was just the 80s and you could just, it didn't have to be about you being on the internet and capturing social media. You could just be out there in the clubs every night and yeah. you were good. Mm-hmm. You eventually, it was known that this guy's good and this guy's one of, you know, he's in, you know, and it, things would just start to happen. But now there's so many ways to do it. And it's, you know, for better or worse, there's a million ways to do it. Mm-hmm. And for many people, it's for better. And if you don't learn to adapt, for some of us, it's going to be worse, you know? Yeah. And I've tried to resist being a part of the internet stuff for so long.
You can't.
And you can't. You really can't. You have to put stuff out there. Because what I realize is, like, that's how they go to your shows. Yep. If they know you on the internet, then they'll come to your live show. Mm-hmm. I used to think, no, live show's everything, dude. That's all I want you to see. Mm-hmm. But they have to know who you are first, yep. you know?
Dude, I found out about John Mulaney from Pandora for probably 7 years ago.
Oh wow, yeah, he's so good. Yeah, that, you know, I mean,
you hear about a guy like Bill Burr when you're an up-and-coming comic and you'll go like, oh, let me put on Bill Burr radio on Pandora.
Yeah.
And like you'll be like, who's this fucking Mulaney guy, you know? And then you go like, whoa, he's already got an album out. That's yeah, how it fucking sure. works, dude. That's how it works,
dude. Yeah, I mean, some of his tracks off his first one, the diner bit, putting on What's Up Pussycat seven
I
times
that for yeah, one yeah, time. Yeah,
that's yeah, that really I mean good. If you don't know what we're talking about, just look up John Mulaney, What's Up Pussycat.
What's that
just,
album called?
New,
I thought it was called the Salt and Pepper Diner.
It's not New in Town. New in Town, isn't it? Isn't it
no,
new
that's the second album.
That's the second one. I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I thought it was called the Salt and Pepper. But the bit is called the Salt and Pepper Diner because that's where he plays the jukebox over and over again.
Yeah, it's an amazing
bit. I personally think that first album, which is not a special, it's just a CD, mm-hmm. is his best ever. I think it's so fucking funny. New in Town is also brilliant.
He is he's ridiculous. He's prolific. He's a prodigy. He's someone who immediately clearly knew his voice and knew exactly how to do every form of comedy.
Yeah.
Not just stand up, but like every form of comedy. It's really he's an amazing person.
There's a track out there floating around, and I wish I could tell you how to find it, but I'm sure you could if you really wanted to. It's him doing a set. Remember those CDs that used to do a bunch? Every track was a different comic.
Yeah.
Type of deal. He's on one of those way back in the day, and he sounds completely different. It's like before he found his voice, and it just sounds like, but same jokes from the first album, but
instead he
voice.
Says them like this. Yeah,
like different tonality. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like really before he found his voice is like really interesting. But he was a writer like before. I mean, he was always a stand up, but he was a writer before he was really known. Yeah. Didn't he write on SNL?
SNL, yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, that's what, you know, think about what you sounded like in your first couple years of doing stand up. I was just this loud, screamy, obnoxious, say whatever I wanted, because there's a time in stand up when you first start and you have to learn that just because you can say anything doesn't mean you should say anything you want. You know, it doesn't, there's a certain, but you think like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just get up here and I'll say every bad thing I can think of because no one's going to stop me. Yeah, they're not going to stop you, but they're also not going to like you.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You have to teach yourself that just because you can say it doesn't mean you should say it.
Yeah, man. Did you, what was I just going to ask you? Fucking grandma's weed's kicking in. You all right, Kevin?
I'm seeing stars.
Are you really?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm good.
Oh, fuck. Are you almost
I'm in the room. That's why.
I know. Yeah. I was going to see you guys. No, I'm good, man.
Did you like Mulaney's latest special?
Oh, sure. I love everything.
I thought
everything.
It was great.
I love everything he does. The way any comedian that can craft a 20-plus minute bit is a hero to me.
Yeah.
That is just like, I think my longest bit that right now, like a total chunk, is probably 9 minutes. It's the longest I've ever had,
myself,
right?
Yeah.
9 minutes of like a total package of a thing. So when I see someone do like Jim Jeffries, just like do 27 minutes, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I'm listening
thing.
To the story because I think how, if that story had happened to me, how long would it take me to tell it? It'd probably 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow you have found a way
to
stretch
dude,
it out to 27.
Well, dude, you realize that they're at a point where they can walk into a club and people won't light them.
Oh, I know.
So they can work out
that's
those
very true.
longer bits.
That's very true.
I like Mulaney's new bit. I still kind of stand behind my argument that as comics go, their albums get worse and worse. And I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I don't think anything's funnier than when you were hungry. We were talking about that recently, but with Kevin Hart, and I think that it just goes for everybody. I think Bill Burr is brilliant, and you have to go watch him live. You have to go watch all these comics that you love live.
Definitely.
When you watch specials, it's really not as good live, or listening to a CD is probably better than specials. But when you watch these specials, like, they get worse and worse with fame. And I think that Mulaney's Best is his first, and then it kind of goes downhill from there. But that's not saying I don't like it. I really liked his last one. My favorite bit on there is when he's fucking attacking colleges. And,
oh, yeah. And it's they came after amazing. Him
for a donation, and he just shits on that. Like,
that's like a restaurant
great,
calling you back to get more money.
Yes.
But I already ate the food.
And he goes, I don't remember exactly verbatim, but he's like to major in English. A language I already speak. It's so great. That special bothered me for the Trump bit with the horse.
The horse
in a hospital.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's just like everyone. I'm tired of Trump
That's
takes
why it
and
ruined
stuff
it for
like
me.
That.
I don't want to hear every comic.
But
do
I
a
also
Trump
understand
joke.
Why he, in the position he's in, feels the need to do it. The thing is, where I am as a comic, I don't do any current event political things because I can't get to it first. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about that stuff anyway. But I also know my place and know that whatever I'm thinking about, it is going to be way past its time before I am able to do anything with it.
Yeah.
You know, put it on TV, put it on an album, anything like that. There are a million people that are ahead of me that are like, oh, I got a special coming out in 4 months. I'm gonna hone this fucking trumpet on this Russia thing, and I'm gonna be the first one to put it out there in a huge form. You know, so people know they're like ready to do
Agreed,
that.
Agreed, man. Yeah, I don't mind current event bits if it's like something really brilliant and it's a topic that's not really going away. Like, I don't want the president stuff, but if you have like a topic like gun control, I think that you can do that for years and be a, you know, like, so the current events and some political things, but like, I don't know. I really can't stand to hear another comic go off on Trump. Here's like my witty Trump bit. It's like,
right.
You all
I just
have one,
dude. I don't think about him. Like, I really don't until it's drilled into my head. I actually hate the fact that we're talking about it right now. That's the thing is, I really don't think about it. So, like, I obviously, like, I watch shows like Last Week Tonight, and I'm not ignorant to what's going on, but I don't put any stock into, like, how is this happening? Mm. And part of that is because I am privileged and none of it directly affects me, so I don't have to think about it that much. But I also just know that I can only affect things on a very local level with people that are around me that are trying to reach out and make my circle bigger. I can't step into a circle that's that far away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's nothing I can personally do. All I can
but
do is affect people around me.
On a local level, like you were saying, so then we should try to just make everyone feel welcomed and happy who's around us.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, man. And we're losing Kevin.
I'm fucking listening, man.
Happiness vibe, positive. I don't like where this is going, dude.
Those guys are doing stuff that goes out to the nation, the billions of subscribers on Netflix or wherever your special is going. You know, those guys are addressing that. When you're a real comic who works the clubs, you're just trying to make those people's live experience fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's very different, I think, than trying to be, my special's coming out. I'm not saying one's wrong. I'm just saying that it's very different. And I think that if you have a favorite comic that you watch their Netflix special, you need to go to your local comedy club and watch live comedy. It'll blow your fucking mind. So here's my thing on the political standpoint of stand-up. When you go out to a comedy club and buy tickets and two drink minimum and all that shit, and you want the live stand-up comedy experience, and a guy starts doing his take on Trump, to me that is like if you paid a therapist and then the therapist started bitching about their own problems.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure, yeah.
I'm like, no. That's not how
it's
this
not
works.
It's not what people should come to escape everything.
Yeah.
And when you throw it in their face, it better be goddamn hilarious what you're saying. It better be mind-changingly good.
And it better not be on one of the sides. Because maybe it is hilarious, but you're saying I hate Trump. But guess what? There's going to be one or two people in there that are just kind of quiet, but they're like, This is kind of stupid because I voted for Trump. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't care if people in the crowd disagree with you. That's fine if people in the crowd would disagree with you. If everyone in the crowd agrees with you, I feel like you're being too safe. Sure. You know, you got to push boundary a little bit. Totally. Like, I mean, you know, there's times when you get a crowd, when you're like on a roll and they're laughing, and then you say something that kind of makes them go like, ooh, that is, to me, I'm like, okay, now we're working. Like, now we're, like, before we were laughing, now I've actually touched on something. Like, right? Let's dig in.
But yeah, dude, yeah, totally. I think that, like, it should be people's escape from the shit they have to deal with. You know? But like, obviously comics do complain about other shit, but that's all stuff that's relatable. It's just like, oh, my wife is this, or you know what I mean? Or like when I was growing up, my dad used to hit me. You know what I mean? That's all like everyone can laugh and relate. But like when the current problem that everyone's out in the world constantly going like, oh my God, Trump this or this and that. And then when they go to a comedy club to escape from it, I want to take your mind off of it.
Yeah. I mean, my rule should be, my rule is just make it fun. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're doing, it should be fun. Even if you're angry about something, there's ways to make it fun. You know what I mean? Watching Louis Black is still very fun. You know, even though he's not being a fun person, but he has found a way for him to be this curmudgeon and everybody else has a great time watching this angry man rant.
Yeah.
You know, so just make it fun for the people that are there. Don't put a motive into them or anything like that. Just give them the information and let them process it.
I try not to push like political views or religious reviews on people. Like I'll say like, hey, I'm Catholic, you know, and I'll do a joke that maybe people relate to, but some people won't. But like, you don't really want to push too much. I don't want people to walk in and then they're hearing about the thing that, like I said, they heard about all day. So we're trying to take their mind off it. And then they walk in and now they're hearing about it again. So now they're making their standpoint. Whatever you said, they're going to themselves, well, I'm either that or I'm not that.
Yeah.
That's whatever you say, people go, well, I'm that or I'm not that. That's
there's a lot of difference between men and women. Say. I'm a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you're going like Trump joke and he's an idiot, blah, 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 blah. If you have a Trump joke and it's hilarious, do it. But don't be so much like, well, Trump's a fucking idiot or shit like that, because you're making someone say, I agree with you because I'm a Democrat, or I disagree with you because I'm a Republican. I don't want anyone to feel those emotions when they're in my show. I want people to be a human being.
I also
feel a human being. Jokes about family.
Yeah, I want material
kids.
That will stand the test of time. Yes. That if you listen to my album in 30 years, you're not going, what's he talking about? Like, I wasn't there for that. Like, right now, it's essentially like, imagine right now you pick up an album and the guy's like, I don't even understand Jimmy Carter's policies these days. You're like, who the fuck cares, dude? And we're just like, we're in the 30 years in the future with our robot wives just like serving as dinners. Like, why are you listening to that Trump thing again? Why do you still sound like that?
Totally. I guess my bottom line is fucking always live entertainment. I think it's the best way to go.
Oh, 100%, man. You got it, dude. Everything. I want everything live. I want music. I want like speeches. I want comedy. I want art. I want all of it. I want to watch all of it. You know.
What was the last concert you went to?
Oh, the last one I went to. I just saw something 2 weeks ago. What did I just see? I'm seeing Nine Inch Nails on Friday. That's gonna be fucking sweet. Dude. Yeah, they're playing the Palladium. That's gonna be amazing. I just went to something though. Oh, I saw this guy Matthew Deere. He's an electronic producer. He's weird, and he makes you sound like you're in a whippet for like an hour. It was at this club downtown. I forgot what it was called, but it's literally like, I wouldn't recommend his music to almost anybody. There's a very specific type of person that would enjoy it.
But did you enjoy it?
Yeah, a lot of it.
Are you a fan of it, or did you go to experience something new?
I went to it having heard a few of his songs and seen him DJ before, but this is his first time doing like a whole live performance, like off his new album, where he just played his whole new album. And there's parts of it where you're just like, what? Are we like?
I want to hear it.
It's just it's trippy. It's super trippy.
What was his name?
Weird. Matthew Deere, Deear. But yeah, I mean, that was the last thing I went to, and then I'll see Nine Inch Nails on Friday.
That's
gonna be crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love live
concert,
music.
Kevin?
What's that?
When was the last time you went to a concert?
I can't even think right now.
It's been a while, huh?
It's grandma.
You went to a lot of sports events.
What's that?
You went to a lot of sports events, right?
Did I?
You went to Dodger game with your brother this
year? Oh, yeah. No, I went last year.
Oh, was it last year?
Yeah. I got a lot of sporting events. I went to one game last year.
No, yeah. I never said that. He said that. You went to a lot of sports. I'm like, I do? You didn't hear me say that. I'm like, you I don't remember
work,
any.
You got to work Comic-Con.
Yeah, I got to work Comic-Con. That was fun.
That's a fucking life experience in the flesh for you. That's how cool was that?
That wasn't a concert.
No, but we're talking about live experiences.
Oh, live experiences?
I do a ton
that
of music
amazing.
Festivals. I do, really? I do a lot. I perform at a lot of them. I think I did 6 last year. So I go to a lot of music festivals, and like I went to Burning Man last year. So like I see a ton of music. It's just – it's more rare. Probably about maybe 6 to 8 times a year I'll go to a concert. Oh, I remember I saw Krungbin at the Wiltern at like a week and a half ago. That's what it was. That just popped into my head. That's the thing, as I see so much that like it just all runs together because I'm either out doing comedy 5-6 nights a week, and oftentimes if not, then I'm somewhere else doing watching like music or something like that.
I think I'm gonna go see Brian Regan this spring. He's going to the Thousand Oaks Theater.
Dude, he's one of my white whales, dude. Right? Him, JB Smoove is another one. It's like, but you have to pay to see
Brian
Regan. JB
Smoove plays all the time though.
Where?
He's at Ice House all the time.
Is he? I never see him anywhere.
Keep checking Ice House, dude. He does like a one-nighter there every now and then.
Oh man, I love him so much.
Did you ever see Cars Getting Coffee?
Yeah,
that coffee shop's like right across the street from where I work in Calabasas.
Sweet.
That place is dope,
dude. Yeah, he's dressed like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
in
he's
it.
Great. He's fucking great.
But yeah, no, Brian Regan is one that I might
take some family members out to that.
It's hard for me to pay to see comedy. Like, yes. I'm like $50. I'm like, cause I can go to the Comedy Store right now and watch Sebastian, Rogan, Whitney, Ali Wong. Like, I can just like go bam, bam, bam. Yeah. For fucking free.
Yes.
So anytime it's just like to pay to see it. I got to see Chris Rock last year at the Dolby because a friend surprised me with a ticket.
Oh, that's cool.
And like that was amazing. I don't get to see comedy in a 3,000 seat theater. You know what I mean?
Also, you are watching all those great guys do 15.
Right. Yes. It's not an hour.
And you're
that's
watching
right.
them work out.
Yes.
It
Very
is something
true.
Different to go watch them do an hour once it's all polished and see how they placed it all together, which is like my fucking favorite because I feel the same way about paying to see comics.
Yeah.
But I'm still a fan and I always will be a fan of stand-up comedy. And I love to see how it comes together. And the stand-up specials don't do it justice.
No, they don't. It's impossible to capture what happens in a comedy room. It's just you can't do it. And that's the thing is no matter what, if you're sitting on your couch – that energy is not there.
Yeah.
And the energy, no matter how well you film it and shoot it and how many camera angles, how small of a room you put that in, there is no way to capture what it's like to laugh with 200 people at the same time.
So when you guys are watching something and you go like, oh, that guy's not that funny, like you have no idea.
Oh, yeah. I know. I see it all the time.
If you thought he was kind of funny in the special... like imagine
yeah
why.
Just understand that this guy did not get a this guy or gal did not get a special because people were tepid in the room for the 12 years that they watched them. You know, understand that like magic was happening night after night in that room.
Fucking so great, so brilliant. They don't feel the chemistry of like, you know, how quickly someone connected with an audience that, you know, you're not there to appreciate that. You're not feeling like at home when there's like a lull, you're like, this guy's bombing. No, he's not. He actually controlled the room when to settle down when he wanted it to.
Yeah.
So that he can tell him a story and then boom, dropped it on him when he was ready. Like, you don't feel that when you're not live. You
know? I convinced someone to go to their first concert recently, and I've been trying for 2 years, and this was her argument. I feel like my seats are going to be so bad, why not just watch it on TV? I was like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
There is an energy that happens when you are with that many people experiencing the exact same thing, and it is there's no way to replicate it. The amount of times a year I get to have a perfect moment, like when I'm at a festival or something like, or like in a comedy club, so many. I get to have so many where I'm like, this moment will never be taken away from me and it will never be experienced again, and this is beautiful and I feel perfect right now, and I know every time I listen to this song from this point forward in my entire life, I'm gonna get this guttural feeling in my stomach,
dude.
Like I am right back there.
I got to see Brian Wilson perform Pet Sounds at the
dude.
What's it called? The
where?
The Greek?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Right. What is that? That's the one right by Griffith, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was fucking awesome. I went with my brother when he came out here. We went to go see Brian Wilson.
Dude, that's
play
an awesome
song.
Concert to see. Yeah,
it was awesome, dude. I was so stoned.
It was so great, man. Oh yeah, if I remember a concert, that's ridiculous. That's insane. See, I never remember them. Like I'm.
Oh man,
on whatever,
dude. It was crazy. I mean, because it was such a like a historical album, and hearing Brian Wilson play it from beginning to end, the entire album.
Yeah.
It was so cool, man.
Do you think you succeeded with that girl that you convinced her to go to her first concert?
Did she feel what you?
I
think she definitely felt it, and it was someone that she really loved, and she spent a lot of money on tickets.
Who was it?
Bruno Mars.
Okay, cool.
You know, I don't really. I've heard his songs. I couldn't pick him out, but
he's got a lot of good
songs. I heard he's got a good, great live performance.
Yeah,
that's
sure
what
he
I've
does,
heard too. I've heard that I heard that he can't even do that many songs because he puts so much energy and like dances while he does it and shit.
Sweet. Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I was like, didn't you feel what you, she's like, yeah, she's kind of like the designer. She's like, yeah, I felt it. Yeah, it was cool. I'm just like, all right, I can't get you to be like, Alex, I finally understand. I'm not going to get that out of you. And I don't need
some people.
I just want you to, like, when people buy things, which to each their own, if things make you happy, fine. But, like, I just don't. We're meant to experience. We're not meant to just have ownership of these toys. Like, you can have fun with a toy, but, you know.
That's true.
I'm not trying to say anything bad about your friend, but there are some people out there that, like, she's going to come to you one day and say, like, Alex, I finally felt it when she was in the front row.
Yeah.
And spend so much money, and they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not saying anything bad about your friend, but there's just
no, it's fine.
That. People that always go like, oh my God, I have to go to France, and they've never been, and they just like want their whole lives. I have to go to Europe, and like, oh, I can't believe my friends with Europe, and I've still never been, and stuff like that. It's like, or I want to live in Paris like my friend does. You know what I mean? There's people like that, and they don't realize that it's not with where you are or what you're doing. It's with you. Eventually, you'll be unhappy there, too.
Yep.
You have to be okay with yourself. You have to be able to have a fucking night of your life in fucking West Hollywood.
Well, that's also a very privileged place to be. West Hollywood. So somebody in Gary, Indiana, would know. Fuck you, Augustino.
But you get my point.
We hang out in the parking lot at the CVS because it's open till 4. There's nothing for us to do. The thing is, travel, go places.
Saying,
of course, dude.
I want to fucking see this.
And you should travel. Every single person. There's this dumb quote that I read one time, and like that just said, "Travel is the only thing that costs money but makes you richer." And it's just one of those like. I like that. Like, because then I don't ever feel bad if I'm spending money to travel.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, that is money.
No,
that
is
money
great experience.
That I enjoy.
I love
spending.
Experiencing new places, but mm-hmm. I am happy with no matter where I am. Like, I have to be happy with yourself. Like, I just know people that are just like, you know, they're so lucky they get to like spend a month there and a month there, and they live there, and just like, yeah, but like, they're always, guess what they're doing? They're saying that someone else is so lucky.
Right, exactly. They're like, I wish I could stay put for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. The grass is always greener.
Right. The married comics, like, you're so lucky, dude. You go to Vegas, you fuck all these chicks when you're on the road. Yeah. They're like, dude, I just like want to go to sleep next to someone that loves me.
The grass is always greener.
I pay women an extra $50 to say they love me at the end.
Totally. You know who I saw recently? And don't make fun of me, but they're my current favorite band. Who's current, like a new band.
Okay.
Is 21 Pilots.
I'm not going to make fun of you for that. I mean, clearly they have a very good thing going, because every once in a while, if I have a very short drive, I put on the radio instead of putting on music I want to listen to or podcast.
Yeah.
So I'll just put on the radio, and there's the K-Rock concert or something. It's one of those coming up, and they go 21 Pilots, Muse, The Killers. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Did you put 21 Pilots in the category with those guys?
Above them. It's not even in the category. They said it first.
Yes.
Before Muse and The Killers.
I'll tell you why.
So clearly I know something is happening with that band.
21 Pilots fucking sells out everywhere, bro.
Yeah.
Those tickets were like $300 each for the nosebleeds.
No concert is that much.
Yes, they were.
Bullshit.
Bro. You want to know why they're that much? You want to know why?
Because you're a sucker.
I feel stupid for saying it because it's my current favorite band. Because their majority of their fans are not old enough to drink. So they're making zero money at the bar. They make no money at concession. Because
there's all these 15-year-olds there that just
love
that
shit. They have
to
charge that much for tickets. But I went to their concert, bro. And, like, it's stupid because I'm looking around. Were you standing up
singing the whole time?
Dude, I was like a little bitch, dude. I was singing my little soul out.
Of course, you should.
Do it, man. Don't be embarrassed. That's the shit you like. Why be sorry for something that you like?
I'm not embarrassed. That's why I'm saying it on a podcast. Like, I'm not embarrassed. But I will say it's crazy the amount of, like, young people that were at the concert. And, like, parents, too. But, like, the crazy amount of young people that showed up with, like, the yellow fucking tape, which, like, if you know 21 Pilots, you know what I'm talking about. They have, like, their fucking jacket that they wear, the yellow tape and shit like that. Or at least their current album, that's what the theme is. And kids are showing up, and I'm just going, like, oh, my God, there's all these young people. But, like, people that really enjoy music who are, like, my age, if you go listen to their music and their lyrics, they're fucking insane, dude. And as far as performance... Dude, it's the same thing
of just like of us talking about like if you're going oh that music sucks, you're like yeah, but there's a reason why they're selling out arenas. Yeah. Like people they're hitting people that aren't you.
Kids and they're attractive guys to the teenage girls, and that's why and they're popular.
One of my least favorite things when someone goes, that guy's not funny, it's like, you don't think he's funny.
Yeah, I hate that.
You don't think they're funny. Like that, I guarantee you that that person is very funny to a lot of people.
Exactly.
It's just not
yours. I don't think I've ever even said that guy's not funny. I think I've just said, I'm like, I just don't really get it.
Not for me.
You know when you watch someone suddenly where it clicks, like where you've been seeing them at open mics and they're kind of struggling and they're going, and all of a sudden one day they just figured it out somehow. Yeah. And they walk in and they just crush in front of you. You go, whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't think that person had a chance. Like, yes. I was watching for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I watched them eat shit continuously. And then all of a sudden, just changes.
I've seen that. I've experienced that. I've also experienced, like, watching famous guys on TV that I never thought were funny. Then I saw them live. It was just like, whoa, that guy's actually – I get it now. I get it. But there's also some people out there that I think is just universally not funny. like we were just saying, like, you shouldn't say no one's not funny. It's just not funny to you. But like, I think no matter, there's always some people out there that I just go, like, I know for a fact it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing the fish hook in the cheek thing. Like, it's just like, we're following who you told us to.
Those
like
are the bravest souls of all. The person who gets up there and just bombs night after night after night, and just like with, I don't know if there's a sense of actualization of what's happening up there, or if they just, for some reason, maybe it feels good to them. But
I mean, it's kind of funny because it's like they're more brave because they know it's not going to work. It's never worked for them, but they still get up there and do it. So it's just like, shit. All right.
Can somebody hand me that pipe? Yeah.
Got you.
Let me read some shout outs here and we'll start to wrap this up. I want to give a shout out to my brother from another number. Another number. My brother from another mother. Now I feel like I said it too hardcore. Mother. Like brother I'm saying it in a bad way. My dude, the White Mamba.
The White Mamba.
I want to give a shout out to JM, or in other words, Emoji Real.
Emoji Rio.
Andy Candy.
Hey, what? Andy Candy.
Andy Candy's listening?
Yeah.
And Sergio Salazar.
Hey, Sergio.
Thank you guys for listening.
I just made my Sergio face.
There you go.
Let me hit this real quick.
Feel free to use that, Sergio.
Alex, you look good.
Thank you. I feel good.
Yeah, man.
We got to have a great fucking conversation and have you on the podcast. And
this was a first class conversation, I must say.
Talked about first class.
I do get it. I was thinking about calling this episode "The Grass Is Greener."
Oh, that's good.
But I might do something in first class.
First class.
Hey. Maybe.
Either one.
I'm on the fence right
now. Upgrade.
But yeah, you look great, bro. Like we said, you started pretty much a month after.
Yeah, that's so
we've
awesome.
Known each other for almost 10 years, and I remember we both used to be a little chunkier.
Yes, we did.
You look fucking great, dude.
Thank you. You as well,
and
sir.
You're fucking tight roping, and you're at the gym, and you're hiking.
That's cool,
I love
man.
It, bro.
I wish we got into that in the podcast. We just talk about the tight roping.
Well, you know what? I had such a good time. I'd like to have Alex back on again.
I would love to come back. This has been a lot of fun.
Anybody else?
Grandma's weed.
You might have to.
But yeah,
if you want, you can load a new one, dude.
Oh no, that's okay. This has still got plenty in it. But yeah, hey, go slacklining or follow me on Instagram and watch me slackline, everybody.
Damn, that's dope. What's your Instagram, by the way?
@HooperHairPuff. So R-H-A-I-R-P-U-F-F.
So Hooper, your last name.
Smoke was pouring out of my mouth on every single letter that I said.
It's Hooper, your last name. And then hair, like
puff.
Hair.
And then puff.
And then P-U-F-F.
Yes.
Okay.
HooperComedy.com for tour dates.
And you recorded an album.
Yeah, my album is out. If you can buy it on iTunes or just be like everyone else and listen to it on Spotify or Apple Music where it is free. Because I could care less how you listen to it. I just want you to listen to it. It's called Hugs, Drugs, Pugs. It's through Special Things Records. And it's my first hour. So go listen to it, please.
Alex Hooper, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in it since the beginning. And we're still in it.
Here's to another 10, baby.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I'm looking forward. This February, what are you going to do for your anniversary?
Succeed.
Yeah. What's the 10 year?
I don't know.
Is 10 year like cotton or some shit?
I don't know. But there is something about, like, I feel like I've felt very good in the last couple of years about where I am and the place where I am. And I think I'm just getting more comfortable in learning myself that it's not like, you know, to stop. That it's going to take its time, you know, and it's fine however much time it takes. As long as I'm always working and creating and doing things that make me happy, that's all that matters, and people will find me.
I've been thinking about doing a special podcast when I hit my 10-year, and I've been thinking about going and maybe recording maybe 15 minutes with each person that I really want to thank and that just had a huge effect on the last 10 years of my career.
I think that's beautiful. I think you should. I think you'd be very happy to have
that together, right? I think that's what I came up with so far, but we'll see what I end up doing. That might be a good idea, right?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Just everybody that fucking like kind of helped out and believed in me and stuff like that. But we'll see. It's to come. Anyway, guys, that's the Homeschool Podcast. Thank you for listening. Make sure you go check out Alex's album. And it's Alex Hooper, H-O-O-P-E-R. Follow him on Instagram. If you forgot his Instagram handle, I'll make sure I'll put it in the description. And Kevin on Instagram is at TheRealKevLyons on Instagram and Twitter. So make sure you mention him when you're mentioning the podcast. And I'm at Augustino Zoid on everything. Oh, fuck. You know how long the internet takes. I better start from now to get my fucking closing music queued up.
Here we go.
Is it more Whitney?
No, it's not more Whitney.
The greatest love of all.
Oh, we should end it on that guy. What was his name? Matthew Deer?
Matthew Deer.
Play that song.
Well, bro, I can't even barely get my own song loaded up, and it's loading slowly. But anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening to the Homeschool Podcast. I appreciate you tuning in. If it's your first time, please hit subscribe. There's more great episodes to come, and go back and binge on some that you missed already. And if you're a returning listener, I appreciate you more than you could ever fucking know. It's the holiday season. And I'm feeling warm inside, and I'm glad, and I appreciate everybody that listens to this podcast, and everyone that comes on this podcast, my co-host Kevin Lyons, and today's guest Alex Hooper, and I hope you guys keep listening, and you tell a friend, and then don't forget about our sponsors. It's Masterclass. Remember, guys, no more excuses. Click the link in the description. Sign up for the year, masterclass.com. Or just click the link in the description so you can help support the Homeschool Podcast. Don't forget to go to 4hangovers.com and use the promo code HOME to get 15% off your order. What do you think about that, Kev?
I think that's a great idea.
Anything you want to say, Kevin? Any shout-outs?
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you guys for listening. Also, this New Year's Eve week, December 27th through December 31st. That's right, the New Year's... I will be in Phoenix, Arizona at the House of Comedy. Did the music start to play?
I started hearing something.
Good. It finally started to play. So I'll be at the House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be there Thursday through Monday because Monday is New Year's Eve. We'll be doing two shows on Monday, bringing in the new year. If you can't make New Year's Eve, come out and see us on Phoenix and one of the other nights. Also, San Jose, get ready. I'll be up there Valentine's weekend. That's all the dates I got right now for you guys. Hopefully there'll be more to come, right, Alex? All
definitely
we can do is
will,
hope. I'll see you guys next time. It's the Homeschool Podcast.
I want you to want me.
Sean Kerrigan.
I don't know if I know Sean Kerrigan.
You know